Better late than never, it's the Webcomic Beacon with your hosts, Fess and Tanya.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Webcomic Beacon. The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on Zephyr.net, and we are also newly affiliated with The Geek Media at thegeekmedia.com. Special thanks to our announcer, Witchy Bunny of HiddenDisguises.com. I am Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me as always is Tanya Higgins of Betapwned.com. Hello, Tanya.
Hello, hello.
This week we're going to be talking about the Web Cartoonist's Choice Awards. If I had been a little bit more responsible, we would have been able to be talking to Frank Dumont Cormier, or however you say his name, the current chief executive of the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards right now. But I had been with a friend, and I had been drinking a little bit, and I missed our our online date. So if I happen to get a hold of him, we may bring him up for an interview later on in the show. For now, we're just going to go right on ahead, and yes, it's my fault.
Plus two bonus for fallible. It's all good.
Indeed.
Listener tune in.
We got a couple of questions this week. One email was sent to us by Dromos, and I can't pronounce your last name. He asks, I was wondering what software you use to make the podcast. I use basic mic and headphone jack headset. I use Skype and Pretty May. It's a paid plugin for Skype. To record conversations, I think that maybe there's probably a better thing than Pretty May, but I end up remixing and making the show better through a program called Goldwave. But there's probably a better program than that, but I'm used to using Goldwave, so that answers that question. Another question, actually it was a comment. Mark S. of AutumnLake.com sent in a comment about our episode 3 about webcomic website design. He's saying that he disagrees slightly with Joel's take on the calendar style archive. He says that in addition to just that, he also has buttons for his storylines. And he says that the calendars serve a purpose of showing the amount of work that has been done and the consistency of posting the work. So it's a potential for a new reader to see the comic posting schedule as reliable, if nothing else. The other thing that he goes on to mention is, well, actually he's calling out Boxcar Astronaut to be a poorly constructed website, saying that while it's a fantastic comic, while it's a fantastic comic, there's a large amount of clutter that's on the main page. Blinking GIFs, ads, testimonials, links, buttons, a tag board, and even a hot pink colored box. He says it's very distracting and it's like comic kryptonite at the worst. So that's one that Mark is calling out from AutumnLake.com. As far as some webcomic community news, if anyone knows of Jack and the Webcomic Asylum, which was a webcomic review blog, he seemed to have stated that he's not going to be updating anymore. And I don't know how big he was in the scope of webcomic review sources, but I know that a lot of people are kind of sad to see him go. But you know, these things happen. That's the nature of the web. You know, you can't always hope for a whole lot of community involvement, a lot of feedback with everything, and someone said to me it's maybe 1% of your viewers are going to actually reply or get involved with your message board or even your chat box, and I have to assume that's pretty much the same for any online venture.
Yeah, I know that seems to be about my percentage, maybe 2%, during the summer, during kind of peak seasons, but yeah, it is sad. I liked his reviews. He was very honest. He reviewed Betapwned a while back, and I definitely appreciated the points that he brought up. So, sad to see him go.
Well, maybe we can get him on for some guest reviews or something. Before we get into the topic of the evening, I just want to say if anybody out there would like to get involved in the show, if you have some questions about this week's topic, last week's topic, or the coming week's topic,
You can send us an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. You can record an audio file of yourself, and you can send the audio file in. We'll play it as a call-in. Keep those to about 30 seconds. Or if you think you have some really good information, keep it to about 3 minutes or less. Because sometimes people do have some valuable information that you just can't cram in 30 seconds. But yeah. Anything out there, we welcome it. Even if you can just send a basic email and keep it to an average size. I should have trimmed last week's email a little bit, which I started giving up towards the end of the email because it was really going long. But Tanya, have you heard much about the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards?
You know, a little bit. I participated last year just in, nominations and voting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, went over the winners. But honestly, I haven't heard much about it this year. I'm not sure if I was part of different communities last year or it was brought to my attention a lot sooner than it was this year. So I'm a little, it kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, from what I heard, the last year's Choice Awards were bumped up 6 months early to match with the beginning of the year. And so that might have, I think that's what confused a lot of people, or so that's what I heard. I don't know for sure because we can't confirm it at the moment. But
yeah, that may be what caused the buzz. Otherwise, right. I may not have known about it at all.
Let's just do a little recap about what the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards are for some of our listeners who may not know. The Web Cartoonist Choice Awards, or the WCCAs, is an annual, basically, webcomic award done. Well, it's by your peers. It's not for readers to submit, hey, this one should win, because it's supposed to be people with a webcomic can nominate themselves or other people for the categories. Like the Oscars of the web.
Right.
There are some people, of course, that don't recognize the WCCAs as the definitive recognition for awards for web comics. I think there's some other ones, or the Eisners, something somewhat related to that, or is that just basically comics?
I think the Eisners cover a little, it's a broader spectrum.
Okay.
Because I do believe they cover print as well. I could be wrong. I know the last time I even heard anything about the Eisners was when Scott Kurtz of PvP won. So it's been a while. I apparently don't pay any attention to awards. It's probably not good.
A lot of people don't. But the WCCA started back in 2001. 2001 is when they had the first results. I'm looking at their website right now. And one of the things that I've always liked about how it works is that there was always like a web, for a lot of times there was a webcomic online ceremony in which various people would sign up to do a particular category, to present a category, say everyone who's the nominees are, and they'd all be prepared, and the winner, you'd scroll down the page to find out who the winner is. I always liked that, and if I heard right, they're only going to be presenting 4 of those this year.
Oh, really?
Instead of all of them. I know they're going to do a live ceremony, and I think from what I've talked to Frank about it, if I'm wrong, I probably am wrong, but I think they were going to be doing it with the gig cast, but I'm not entirely
gig
sure.
Gig cast?
But looking at their website, looking at ccawards.com, in their categories section, it looks like they cut out a couple of them from last year. But if I had to guess, I think the ones that they'll announce online would be Outstanding Newcomer, Outstanding Comic, Outstanding Artist, and Outstanding Writer.
Yeah, they do seem to have sort of places of honor there in the listing. So
the rest are all indented underneath. Well, let's go over the... Let's go over the categories.
Okay.
Like the 4 I just mentioned, of course. Outstanding Newcomer, it's an award that acknowledges the best new comic of this year. So basically within the past 12 months are the only candidates eligible. Outstanding Comic would be, the most overall outstanding comic has been most effectively using the element of creative process, art, writing, technical, the best of the best, I guess.
Right.
Outstanding artist. Well, you can't really. It should be obvious. Outstanding writer should be obvious. But underneath the outstanding artist, they have outstanding layout, which mm-hmm. recognizes an online comic whose art is notable for highly successful compositional elements. Outstanding use of color, which recognizes an online comic that has a highly successful use of color to its art. Outstanding black and white art. Outstanding photographic comic, which also would include photographic manipulation comics such as Dark Red or possibly Aaron's Desk if people would nominate Aaron.
I would.
It's certainly interesting enough, and I think Dark Red could really take it this year. That'd be my pick personally, but.
Well, yeah, I think if I was going to be voting for Aaron, it would be Underwriting. So.
Actually, she might. I think Dark Red might even be. Newcomer, unless they're a little bit older, I'm not sure, but
I don't know. Well, I think you might be right.
We can go over the picks later. I'm going to finish this up here. Outstanding character rendering award recognizes an artist's skill at rendering the characters of an online comic during the past year, where the visual flavor of the character design is effectively presented. Outstanding environment, outstanding environment design. I actually presented this one last year, and I think I was a little too selfish with my own comics for one, so I want to officially state that I apologize for being too selfish with my presentation to all those who are listening.
But I thought it was funny.
I was trying to be funny, but some people had a little issue with me, so.
Well,
that award recognizes visual design work of the environment, props, setting up an online comic, visual flavor, etc., etc. Outstanding website design should speak for itself. Outstanding use for the medium, which when I first heard it, sounds a little confusing, but it says it recognizes comics that uses, what the hell is superlative? I don't even know what that word means.
Superlative use of computer developed and or presented content. I don't know. I know how to pronounce it.
Maybe it's like vector comics. Comics that use vectors.
I believe it was I Am a Rocket Builder that took it last year, and it was basically her use of both strip comics and flash presentations that were interactive that won the award for her. So I think it's the idea of taking a web comic and making it everything a print comic can't be.
Ah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the next ones are underneath the Outstanding Writer section. And would you like to go ahead and read those?
Sure. We have Outstanding Character Writing. This award recognizes an online comic whose character or characters have been rendered through image and narrative development to an extraordinary level of quality. Then Outstanding Long-Form Comic. This award recognizes comics with longer formats and extended continuous storylines, traditionally fit but not restricted to comic book formats. Outstanding Short Form Comic. This award recognizes comics with shorter formats with regular gags or beats to its story to reflect each individual strip. Outstanding Single Panel Comic. Obviously recognizes outstanding single panel comics. Outstanding Comedic Comic. Recognizes the online comic's ability to use humor and comedy effectively. And Outstanding Dramatic Comic, which recognizes dramatic elements of online comic storyline.
And those are this year's categories. I'm just looking over the categories from last year, and I think a few were taken out.
I think they've basically taken out the genre standings.
I guess so. That would make sense. Outstanding Superhero Action Comic. That one, I think, was the most lacking yet last year, so I could totally see that one being removed.
Yeah.
I got to see who won that one last year. Was it the Green Avenger? No, it was Dr. McNinja, but the Green Avenger was nominated.
Yeah.
Dr. McNinja, I love that comic.
I don't read it. I'm sorry.
You haven't read Dr. McNinja yet.
I read three or four.
After this, get off your ass and go to the Dr. McNinja. It's brilliant. That's all I can tell you. And it's awesome. Brilliant and awesome.
All right. I'll believe you. I'll go check.
So they took out a couple of categories, so obviously they're still fine-tuning what they have. Let's go over the how people can get involved with the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards for 2008. On the homepage, they basically tell us exactly who is eligible. Who is eligible to vote? Anyone with an active webcomic is eligible to participate. Remember, this is an award ceremony by peers, by one's right. peers. Whether you're a writer, illustrator, colorist, or the all-in-one cartoonist, only one person per webcomic may vote. Like, I draw PSI and I draw Ardra and some other things. Jason or I could nominate representing Ardra, but not both of us.
Right.
So that's how it works for those for those super ambitious people out there with more than one active webcomic project. Basically, you can that's what makes you eligible. Active webcomic, which means that if you haven't done your webcomic for a while, well, you're not eligible. So sure. Those on hiatus, get your butt moving and start updating your webcomics.
You only have until January 23rd. Get with it.
If that means you should make up for however long you're on hiatus, no, move it. Any webcomic that has been active between February 2007 to the present is eligible to win as many categories as they qualify for. Common sense rules apply, of course. A full color comic can't win outstanding black and white. Duh. Same thing for the most exciting category that I could ever be excited for each year would be the newcomer category, because it gives everyone all the noobs, basically, a good chance at it.
Because a shot
recognition. Yeah, you can't. Basically, all the really well known good ones out there can't get into this category.
Yeah, Copper's not going to sweep this one.
No,
so
no.
We're good.
And with 10,000 webcomics out there, it's certainly going to be a tough feat. So this also underlies the importance of basically connecting with the community.
Yeah.
Now, if you just sit around and you're just trying to make a big webcomic and trying to get a lot of people to come to your site and you don't really talk to anybody, well, you're pretty much not going to get voted at all.
You're probably not doing real well either.
Yeah, make some friends. You got to get involved with the community.
Yeah.
And being an ass and spamming your comic is no way to get good friends.
You've noticed that, have you? Yeah. I've actually said that on a few forums. Don't be an ass.
Don't You'd be think an ass. It was Well, that's all around good advice for the internet in general.
Yeah.
With that in mind, I know that there's some questions that we'd like to ask the people of the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards Committee, but they're not here, so we can't.
But we will. We'll find a way.
We'll try to find a way, so we'll hold that for now. I think right now what we went over, the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards, like we said, some people do not think it's the definitive award ceremony for websites, for webcomics, but I think maybe it means a lot more, or maybe it works a lot more for younger webcomics or novice webcomickers, because I think what I mostly hear are the ones that are more experienced in webcomicking saying whether or not they recognize it as the definitive award.
Well, when you're winning other awards, it's easy to
toss off. I think they do a decent job on their part from what I've seen. I mean, maybe it's not a perfect system, but it's not like they're gaining anything out of it. It's not like they're absorbing exorbitant amounts of money through this thing.
There's not a registration fee, and they announce it MegaCon, and it's fun. It is what it is. If you're not taking it seriously, this is not the Oscars.
Their intentions are good, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
And I just think that if enough people know about it, enough people can get involved with it, and it can certainly be at least maybe 90, 95% undeniable the definitive award at least the peer peer-to-peer online webcomic award ceremony. And
yeah, the more people who are involved, the more legitimate it becomes.
Yes. But for now, I think we'll table the rest of this for now and see if we can get Frank on the phone to talk about the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards. Once again, if I don't get a hold of you, Frank, if you're listening, I greatly apologize. I don't usually screw up so badly like that. So, well, hopefully something can work out. If not, well, we live and learn. And right now, one of the great teachers of our time, Brett Hanley.
Brett Hanley with Casual Ramblings.
Jay Dalton of Unreadable British Columbia writes, "Dear CN, last year I was nominated for a WCCA but didn't win. I'd really like to win. Do you have any proven strategies I could use? I'll be honest with you, Jay Dalton. No, no, I don't. Not for you, anyway. You see, the reason you lost and will continue to lose is that you're foreign. And the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards, like the Olympics, the World Series, and all of the Oscars that matter, are really more of an American thing. Oh, sure, we sometimes let foreigners participate, but they never win, and for good reason. Being foreign is wrong. Anytime you allow a foreigner to participate in anything, he will always say or do something completely foreign. I once visited a McDonald's in the imaginary province of Nova Scotia that actually had lobster bits as a menu item. You can go to McDonald's anywhere in the United States and always find exactly the same thing in every single shop. But in Nova Scotia, they felt the need to roll crustaceans into little balls and top them into the deep fryer. At least Canadians have the decency to speak something vaguely resembling English. Some countries, like France and Australia, don't speak English at all. Oh, sure, they have some English-sounding words, but they mostly exist to put tourists off their guard. So here are the facts, Jay Dalton of British Columbia. The only way you can win a WCCA is to become an American. The easiest way to do this is to steal an actual American's identity by rifling through their garbage and copying any numbers you may find on random slips of paper. Write these numbers neatly on a 3x5 index card with Real American ID printed at the top. Use a Sharpie so it looks official. If you won't take that simple step, then you may as well resign yourself to participation trophies and whining about the deal between the French and Russian judges."
Find more from Brett Hanley at casualnotice.com.
The Webcomic Beacon is proud to be an affiliate of The Geek Media. TheGeekMedia.com has a number of geek-related websites, podcasts, and blogs for you to check out. Check out TheGeekMedia.com.
Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net. Free hosting for free thinkers. Adjusting frequency for Frank the Monk Comier.
Is it Cormier?
It's Cormier.
All right, I wasn't too sure. I guess our announcer, Witchy Bunny, got it right when she first talked about it. So,
no, that sounds right, as in Corm, and then the expression of absolute joy and exultation at talking to me.
Well, greetings, Frank, and thanks for coming on to the show with us to talk about the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards.
Pleasure to be here, Fez.
And
now, is it Fez, Fess, Fees, Bernice?
Fez is a little funny hat you wear. I'm Fess with an S.
Fess with an S.
Yes.
I like it. All right, so definitely not Bernice then. Just want to be sure.
Not tonight.
Not tonight. Okay. Tuesday special. Gotcha.
All right. Can you tell us a bit about your role with the WCCAs?
Right. Well, I started out probably as what you could call, and it was a very official title, honest, the chief complainer. I would be the person years ago who would raise all sorts of crazy points. I was the foil to Mark Mickey's wonderful ideas. And it really came out as a challenge to begin with. How does it go? Basically, someone put it to me that, Frank, you know, since you're complaining so much about these awards, why don't you do something about it? So I thought, well, hey, why don't I just join the committee and complain to them? And next thing you know, a year after year, I started working with Mark, found that Mark himself is one outstanding fella, an incredibly committed person. He the effort, the love, the work he puts into this thing is... It's second to none. It's kind of crazy. I don't know why he does it, especially since it's not quite a paid position. But all that to say, I grew in involvement and found myself at one point going to registrar and then becoming a senior advisor, as I would guess it was the title they gave me. So mm-hmm. I guess that really is chief complainer. And then last year thought Mark deserved a break because he's been chairing this thing since day one, and really it's a tireless task. So I thought, you know, well, Mark, you should go in the back seat for a little bit and let someone else just shoulder the burden. So here I am.
Well, awesome.
So currently now, yeah, I'm the chairperson of the awards, and the primary, it is a taskmaster, so to speak. We have a committee that currently consists of about six people, actually up to seven now. We had a recent new joinee. And it's just trying to see what we can do to improve the event. The event as you... I'm saying a lot here. Maybe I should let you speak about it.
Well, like Mark Mickey said, he couldn't be here with us tonight. But so I'm not sure how much... information that you know on the subject, but it started in about 2001 was the first time they had the awards.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why it started? I mean, you said he was having some issues with...
Absolutely, yeah, sorry. The reason the awards event started was it was still a young time in the past for web comics grazing in the fields. There were a few people out there who had made a name for themselves at the time. Sluggy, Freelance, some of the big people. PvP was starting to garner attention. Mm-hmm. Everyone was still in that infancy of web cartooning. And exposure was a hard thing to gather, to gain. And the event was thought up as a way to try to, one, recognize some of the incredible artists, the incredible writers that were out there, these magnificent tunists. Bards of the paneled page. And it started out, basically, it was on the Keen Space group, which Keen Space being an offshoot, open offshoot to Keen Spot, the invitation-only comics collective.
Right.
And most people there they thought, well, of course, hey, absolutely, I know all these great comics, I'd love to have an excuse to say, you know, give them an award or give them some kind of accolades. And lo and behold, the first event was built, and it was very simple. We just tossed together a bunch of categories that we thought would fit the bill, outstanding comic, outstanding art, writer, etc. And it grew. It grew year after year. Of course, as the event grew, so did the discussion around it, both positive and negative.
Mm-hmm. And from a little bit of the negative... I want to touch on here tonight.
Absolutely.
Last year, the 2007 awards, there seemed to be some sort of confusion. Is something about 6 months disappearing?
6 months. Okay. What? There is some confusion there, I suppose. What we've done is there were two things that happened. We decided to switch the time frame of the awards event because we were finding that the old summer time frame. It was very hard for people to garner to generate the interest, to generate the time, because this is a time where students, a lot of younger folks, are not, they're away from school, they're away from college, so they don't have a chance to have access to the web. They're not as likely to be online. They're not as likely to participate in the event. So we felt that it was kind of limiting the audience. So we thought that, well, January is a good time. It also starts the year, the calendar year. Right. Most people are still more or less around. With the awards happening in March, the event itself, we were able to, in March, tie it up to a convention. So we are now we have a live presentation that happens every year at MegaCon, which is in Florida, which works well for Mark since Mark is from Orlando. And, of course, we have, just as you'd have for any awards event, you will have presentations, presenters coming up. We've had some, the first year it happened, we had some modest modest participation, and so far there's been some good interest for the second year.
Mm-hmm.
So growing interest, people asking more about it, so hopefully we'll have a larger turnout. And, of course, as always, we have the online presentations that happen.
And on the online presentations, you told me in an email they're only going to be having 4 webcomic presentations this year?
Yes. Something we've changed, and this is, again, it's one of the hardest parts about an event like this, of course, is trying to please as many people as possible. Try to make sure that people don't lose sight of what the awards is about. And the awards is about recognizing these capable creators, these capable artists. And one of the critiques that had come out repeatedly in the last few years had been that there were so many categories and so many of these presentations that were becoming a little self-serving, more than rather than showing off the great work that the nominees and the eventual winners were producing, they would start, you know, kind of showcasing themselves. And fair enough.
I am incredibly guilty of that last year.
It happens, right?
Yeah.
And fair enough. I mean, you were given a chance to show your stuff, to strut your stuff, mm-hmm. and it's a pragmatic thing to do, but it makes sense. Of course, you're going to want to show, and just by de facto, just by having a presentation, people see your work.
Right.
But what we felt, and we there was too much to go through.
Right.
Not we, but the people were saying it was too much to go through. I just want to see the winners.
I could see that.
Yeah. Now, one could say it might be an extreme to go from full presentations to just 4, but we want to try it out. Because, yeah, you're right, we could still have full presentations and then just a page that has all the winners.
Right.
But we'll try out with the 4 to try to, in a way, it's to avoid diluting the importance of the presentations.
Okay.
Right? So instead of having 30 of them, if we have 4, and we have the 4 big ones. So, of course, that would be outstanding comic, outstanding art, outstanding writer, and outstanding newcomer.
Okay.
We'll, you know, be able to get pick from the herd, the best of the herd for presentations. We'll get quality. We'll be able to hopefully ensure that we are doing this, the presenters are doing it for the nominees and the winners and not for themselves.
Right.
And I'm, you know, better quality, and hopefully, well, we'll see what the feedback is.
Okay,
and that'll be positive.
And speaking of categories and presenting them, there seem to be a lot fewer to go through this year.
Yes, we've also dropped the categories. The big thing we've dropped are the genres this year,
mm-hmm.
which is another new. This might seem a little controversial. Last event we had, one of the votes that we gave was an optional vote, was to have people suggest a new genre or new genres that they could vote on.
Mm-hmm.
The genres have always been controversial because the argument is, well, you're rewarding these 8 or 9 types of, you know, genres, yet what about all these other 15, 20, 30, 15, umpteen categories? Are they not good enough to merit an award? And
I could see that.
It's a tough call. But one of the things that came up as an odd, perhaps not too surprising side effect to this vote for a new genre was we had a lot of people voting for no new genres. In fact, abolish the genres completely. So since the people spoke, we thought we'd give it a try.
All right.
And we will. So we'll see. I personally, this has been a matter between Mark and I, and between the committee. We've always been pretty split evenly on this. I've always been of the opinion that genres. It's almost unfair to select genres because, again, you are excluding umpteen categories, umpteen number of comics, while the other categories, you know, it's an either or. Like, everyone is eligible for outstanding comic. A newcomer, well, that one makes sense, only the new people, but you're still, everyone at one point was a newcomer, so they've all had a chance. Outstanding art, everyone has art. Outstanding writer, everyone has writer. You see where I'm going with this.
Right.
Where even black and white in color, well, you're one or the other, so you still have a chance at getting one. But outstanding anthropomorphic, what makes that better than outstanding horror? What makes that better than outstanding even adult comic? That was one of the suggestions we had.
Right, I knew that was a big one that people were talking about before, but I guess I can just say, talk to the hand. We're not going to go into the genres right now.
Exactly. It's well, again, if the people speak, and this is very much the spirit, and I agree with Mark on this one. The awards are for the web cartoonists.
Right.
Therefore, if the majority of web cartoonists feel that we should have genres, then okay, yes, we should consider it being able to add them, because otherwise we're ignoring the voice of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the point of having this Voice of the People Awards?
And the Voice of the People is based on everyone's peers, correct? Not the readers.
Here's exactly. In this case, as opposed, the idea behind it was that you want the web cartoonists who, and this is again, I hope, Mark, if you're listening or when you hear this, you won't take too much offense, and I wish you were here to be able to present your opinion, but Mark and some other people's opinion is that web cartoonists, because they are very much involved with their craft, should be de facto more enlightened about their choices for what the best web cartoonists out there are. They should all be very humble and be able to recognize the geniuses that are out there and accept that they're not, they themselves might not be as good as the other people, or
right.
Could be as good, right? I admittedly am a little more cynical on this. I'm not certain that everyone out there has a less than selfless slant when it comes to voting for these things, and the evidence has presented itself now 7 years running. It's very rare you'll find a ballot that comes in where the voter has not voted for him or herself at least once. It's more common to find someone voting for themselves in practically every category, even when they wouldn't apply, which is amusing and ha-ha, but then it's also sad because it defeats the purpose, in my mind at least, of what these awards are for.
Well, sure, maybe those people will die a little inside, but...
Or
we could hope, but...
Yes. I mean, it's human. Everyone hopes that they'll get recognized, mm-hmm. and I mean... Perhaps each of these people voting for themselves truly believe, and this is an argument Mark uses, which I agree with,
mm-hmm.
Each of them believe that they happen to be the best at what they do. And if so, hey, power to them. That's cool that they think that. But it shouldn't be up to them, because it's the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards, it should be up to the other people to recognize them.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't be able to vote for yourself, you know. Just because that's a little bit more of like... You know, you got to be. It should be like an unwritten rule, or just a thing you don't do. I mean, it makes sense not to vote for yourself, but I mean, or nominate yourself. Voting for yourself, I guess, is a different idea all in all. But if you have to vote for yourself or nominate yourself, then you know, why don't you have any friends that would nominate you, and you would nominate them?
Exactly, and that's you know, that's one of the things I'll say, which might be a little off color or in apropos. Nice. If people who vote for themselves, I think for the most part are fairly insecure, and I've probably alienated half the people out there right now. I was saying that, but it's you should believe in yourself. I mean, I know I'm completely awesome. I know I'm the most incredible person in the universe. You know, I don't need myself to remind myself of that. I'm happy with having other people tell me, and if other people don't tell me, it doesn't matter because I still know I'm great. And people with their comics should think the same way with their art. They should be comfortable and confident enough with their stuff that let someone else recognize them.
Right.
They don't need to recognize themselves, because otherwise why are they even doing it? They know because they're doing it. And I admire all these people who are doing their own stuff. They just have to learn to get this confidence, and they don't need to worry about whether they win or not win this award. What matters the most in the end really is that they do their work, and if other people want to recognize them, power to them. And it's great. And it's more meaningful when you know that other people surprised you with this, as opposed to you planning and scheming and getting all your friends to vote in this. Let's see if we can, you know, stack the votes.
Right.
Is that really why you're cartooning? I hope not.
Is there some sort of... Well, with some of the things that I hear, there are some people that are like, oh, the WCCAs, well, they're not really like the authority on who gets the award or whatnot, whether or not the WCCAs are legitimate or the definitive award committee for webcomics. What does the WCCA committee basically stand on this?
Well, I mean, it's what's the, for lack of a better term, it is a People's Choice Awards, right?
Mm-hmm.
If for people who are, I don't know if how people are old enough to remember the umpteen awards that came out for television and movies, for, you know, from all different peers, you know, you got your Golden Globes, you've got your Academies, but the People's Choice, I don't know if they still give those. The idea behind the People's Choice was it was the people out there. The people would vote, the masses. And in this case, though it is peers, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. it's still the masses of web cartoonists are voting. And that is a very wide category of people. People who read, 100 comics, maybe. People who read one comic, their own, or maybe their best friend's comics. I don't know, personally, if it's you can trust these awards as an authority, and I'm honest with this, in right. terms of they mean that the ones that win are by far the best critical comics in the universe. No. But it's what the masses of peers do think at the time, well, we really like this art. Well, they'll be right, perhaps, that the art will be great. They might not be able to tell you why. They're not going to give you a 25-page dissertation on the value of the use of the brush in panel 5 and, the clear influence of blah, blah. I can't think of anything witty, sorry. I must be too sober.
No, you're on the beacon. That happens.
Fair enough. So in that sense, no, I don't think we are. I used to be myself very much a webcomic snob. I used to think I knew better than everyone else, and I have no shame in admitting it. At my worst or best, depending on how you see it, I was reading 500 or 600 comics a day. This was when I was still I could afford the time in university, my master's degree. It was a 3-hour thing, and it was a mission for me to do it. And the idea behind it was I wanted to learn as much as I could about other people's art and other people's writing, so that way I would know how to better create my own comic. Mm. And that is one of the issues I have sometimes with these kinds of things, because a lot of the people who vote, as I said earlier, they only read one or two or three comics, and then when they don't win or when they're not popular enough, they wonder, well, how come I'm not popular? How come I'm not, a better web cartoonist? How come not, everybody doesn't like me? Well, you haven't done your research. You haven't read all these things to see what the best comics are. You haven't been able to figure out what influenced this, what causes that, how come the shading in this color works, but using that kind of, Photoshop effect doesn't work.
Lens flare.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I
could keep going, so I please.
No, I'm on a time limit, so we gotta. I got a quick question. I want to clarify
Absolutely.
On who is eligible to submit a nomination or vote, and is it anyone with an active comic between 2007 and now eligible, or how specifically does that work?
There's still some contention on what the bare minimum is. We've tried to be as broad and as fair as possible. The idea is that as long as someone is producing comics actively this year, mm-hmm. so basically in the calendar year, as long as they produce some. Now, if someone's only produced one, now if someone's only produced 10, it's hard to make that call. So at the moment, it's open to anyone who's active, and that includes someone who's produced one comic. We hope, usually, and we haven't really come across yet a case in the 7 years where someone's produced a comic specifically only so they could nominate a friend and then stop their comic. I hope that doesn't happen. It's just, well, maybe, you know what? Even if they do, that's great, because they might actually end up finding that they like drawing comics and we've hooked someone else in the comic world. So it's win-win. So all those people there who want to try to get people to vote for them, get them to draw comics and put it on the web. Build up our masses.
And I know you have instructions on the website about how people can get involved, but can you give us an official timetable for the awards?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, the nomination round will begin officially on Monday, so Monday, January the 7th. This will go on up until January the 23rd. This is the original. This is the initial nomination round. So you will be able to vote for up to 3 people per category in as many or as little categories as you wish. You don't have to vote up to the 3. You can vote to only 1 if you'd like, but you can't vote for more than 3 per category.
Right.
Once that's done, we go through all the ballots. It's a fun process because at the moment we seem to have some kind of curse with webmasters. We have now lost a webmaster every year because it's hard when they're volunteer people, unfortunately, unless they've got a passion and some kind of almost, neurotic drive towards helping us, they get distracted by real life and they can't come through. So we have to do a manual process. We've done this for 3 years now. It's very painful. We're working on calling some favors in for next year and getting a professional web construction team to build a site that will have everything automated and make it easier for voters. But I digress, coming back to the timeline. On February the 1st, we'll be announcing the top nominees in each category. And then you guys will have 7 days to think about it and think, wow, these are these great people. On February 8th, we start the final voting round. And that goes for 2 weeks until the 22nd. Once that's done, we tabulate the final votes. We make sure everything's recounted and there are no problems with eligibility. And then on March 8th, we'll be announcing the winners, both live and online. So live, it will happen at MegaCon in Orlando, Florida. And online, it will happen at the Web Cartoonist Choice Award website, which you can find at ccawards.com. And that's pretty much it for the event. And then we start the whole thing over for next year, and we hope that we can start the next nomination by January 7th of the second year.
Well, awesome. Again, Frank, thanks for coming on to the show with us to talk about the 2008 WCCAs.
Excellent. It's been a pleasure to be here. Next time I'll try to be a little bit more composed as to thoughts and ramblings.
It's quite all right.
See how I'm implying I'm going to be here again somehow when the big controversies burst out.
We'd like to get you back on the show to talk about maybe once the voting round begins, about who's involved and how things are going behind the scenes. In the meantime, the Webcomic Beacon will be keeping an eye on the WCCA development in the coming weeks, as well as going over our very own picks for who we think should be nominated and who we'll be personally voting for. So once again, thanks, Frank, for coming on the show.
It's been a pleasure, Bernice. Oh, no, wait, that's Tuesdays. Fess, it's been a pleasure.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye now.
Again, that was Frank DeMonc-Cormier, the chief executive of the WCCA committee. You can find all the information you need to know about the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards at ccawards.com.
And now, webcomic reviews.
This is Diana Nock from Jinxville.com, and this is my tryout for the review position at the Webcomic Beacon. I'm going to be reviewing Dark Red by Lynn French and Joanna McKenzie. It updates Fridays at DarkRedComics.com, DarkRedComics, all one word, .com. First of all, this is a photo comic, which I haven't read a lot of, but I figured it would be a good subject for a first review. Anyway, this is what I liked and I didn't like. First of all, I really liked that the panels were well-composed and they flowed well together as panels and worked well as a comic instead of being like individual snapshots that were just pasted up together or screenshots from a film. It feels like a comic, and that should be a given, I guess, but I was afraid as a photo comic that it just wasn't going to work as a comic, but I was pleasantly surprised that it did. There aren't yet two full issues online, but I can tell they're trying to build a fleshed-out supernatural world, which I find interesting. And I'm hoping that once they have some more issues up, that they'll have a good little mythos going. I also liked that they had some nice tongue-in-cheek moments. In some of the more recent pages, they posted some demon exorcisms. Well, a single demon. Single demon exorcism, which I thought was pretty cute and funny. And I like that sort of tongue-in-cheek supernatural stuff. So... also, this is going to sound shallow, but one thing I liked was I thought Ian was kind of cute. okay. Things I disliked. I'm going to be going for visual things since I'm a pretty visual person. First of all, this may seem like a nitpick, but I thought some of the lettering needed a bit of work. More than once, I thought the flow of the balloons was confusing, which hindered smooth storytelling, of course. Also, I questioned some of the font choices. For example, the dialogue font. The dialogue font is fine, actually. But some special fonts, like the one used in Sarah's flashback, I found it annoying to look at and distracting. Really, really good lettering shouldn't distract from the story at hand. Another visual thing, which was the biggie, in my opinion, was the added-in effects, like Sarah's hair. Sarah's red hair. It's obvious that her hair is not really red. It's obvious that it's darker than it is in the comic. The actress who plays Sarah. And it has a sort of silly-looking white streak. Silly-looking, in my opinion. If it were drawn, I could ignore the white streak in the hair, but for some reason, as a photo comic, it distracts me. Once again, the whole distraction thing. I found that her red hair looks very flat. And distracting. Once again, there's that word again. Also, Ian's beard. When he shows up as a character, he has a beard in it, and when you look at it, it's obvious that the actor does not actually have a beard in the photographs. It looks like it's drawn with a marker, more or less. And also the supernatural characters, some of them are drawn in as like actual drawings, not just photo manipulated. I think a lack of consistency in the visuals, there needs to be more consistency for, I think, the sense of disbelief to be properly suspended for this comic to really work well. There's also some rather bad face acting, in my opinion. It tends to happen with the more extreme emotions, or if there's someone screaming, or like really sad. usually the acting is adequate. I'm hoping that the actors will have some more time in their roles and get more comfortable with them, and that problem will disappear. I also thought some of the dialogue was a little stilted, but some of it I can't imagine anyone saying with a straight face, but I might go back and reread that, and for all I know, it's more tongue-in-cheek stuff. My overall impression is that, first of all, Lynn states in the Frequently Asked Questions that she's influenced by Neil Gaiman and Joss Whedon, and I think it shows very strongly. So if you're into one or both of them, Dark Red might be something you should check out. The converse is also true. If you don't like those guys, you probably won't like Dark Red. In fact, you probably will really not like it. It might seem a little derivative. I found it a little derivative just because I could tell pretty easily that she was very influenced by those two authors in particular. But it's a relatively new comic. It hasn't had time to fully come into its own yet, so I'm going to give it some time. I think it's most enjoyable if you have a taste for not entirely serious supernatural dramas. Don't take it too seriously. Even with its flaws and initial hiccups, you'll probably get a little kick out of it. Later on, when it has more comics up, who knows? You might be able to take a little more seriously, or I'm not sure what direction it's going to go in exactly. Okay, this was my tryout. If you like it, you hate it, you think I should go die in a fire, let Fess know, and he'll let me know, and then I guess I'll let you know that I know, and then we'll all know.
Well, good to know. That was Diana Nock of Jinxspell.com with a webcomic review of Dark Red.
That's all we have for the show right now. And Tanya, please tell them how they can get involved.
People can try calling in with an audio file about 30 seconds long pertaining to the week's subject at hand. State your name or screen name, then your site or URL at the beginning. Understand that we may usually cut that part out, but leave it in just in case. We also can't guarantee all call-ins will get on the air. Send it to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. You may also be able to leave a voicemail by finding Fessworks on Skype. That's Fessworks with an S.
Yes.
Colorado draw be damned.
Yes, I am not. I am not a cute little funny hat with a tassel. Now, if you think you have a really good story or some sage advice, and it would probably take longer than 30 seconds, probably try to keep it about 2 minutes long, if you feel that it would be viable and well worth our time playing on the air. If you are also wanting to just send us a simple email, feel free to do so at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Anything from general questions of the show to responses of this week's episode or next week's topic.
To get a jump start, the topic for next week will be single panel comics. Also next week, we'll be interviewing Chris Hallbeck of The Book of Biff. Feel free to submit your questions.
For now, this episode is over, but the Webcomic Beacon plans to bring you guests, interviews, along with a new topic each week. I'm Fess.
And I'm Tanya.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.